If you'll turn in your Bibles with me, we're in the book of Acts at chapter 2. We are now 2 weeks away from when we started the series. I intended to come right back after the baby dedication, but then somehow colitis wanted to attack me. And I believe that our congregation has been under attack. And I believe that we need to truly seek His guidance and protection and strength. And I just praise the Lord for this congregation. But let's lift each other up. Look around you. See who's not here this morning. Pick up the phone and say, I missed you. Is everything all right? That's not the pastor's job. The pastor's job is to spend time equipping you to do the work of service. What is the work of service? Getting on the phone and loving people. What is the work of service? Chopping wood if we need to. What is the work of service? Changing light bulbs if we need to. We could go on out, down off the... All right. Hallelujah. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the other parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. All right. Let's go back and just build a little background as we move forward here. Background, chapter 1, we find in verse 3. Jesus had just spent 40 days with the believers after his resurrection. How many days had he spent? 40 days. Okay. So, from the time that Jesus is drawn up into heaven until the time that is going on is a period, right here, is a period of 10 days. In the last chapter, we realize the believers were gathered together. In verse 14, it says they were one mind and devoted to prayer. Now, I want you to recognize the key. There's two keys there. What does one mind mean? Agreement. And well, whose mind was it? God's mind. One mind. They were in agreement. What were they agreeing on? That they were going to wait for the promise. It says that they were told to wait. And we talked about that was one of the main points of the sermon that I did that week was waiting. And how hard that is for us. But they were told to wait. But they only had 10 days they ended up waiting. 10 days. We also pointed out in verse 15 that the believers were not just the 12 disciples. It says they were gathered a total of 120. So we know that at this time, there's not just the disciples that are gathered here. That there are many believers. Those who had seen Jesus, knew He was raised, that He was victorious, that He was Lord and King of all. Hallelujah. And they watched Him go to heaven. Can you imagine that? To see someone just drawn up? Oh, I just get excited and have chills when I think of the miracles that God has shown to His people. Guys, we expect too little. God hasn't changed. We have. We need to start expecting for God to come to us. If we need a burning bush, He's going to show up there because He wants His work to be done. So let's stop saying, God, you just can't do this. You know what? I can just see myself. I'd have probably been a horrible disciple, because as Jesus is floating up into the air, do you know what I'd have been thinking? I've lost my mind. But these people had 3 years of being surprised, hadn't they? 3 years of miracles. Jesus even said, if you don't believe me for what I say, believe me for what you see happen. So, we have this background. Day 50 comes. And they hear and they see again a miracle. What was it they heard? A rushing wind come pouring. Where from? Out of heaven. Could they see that? Could they feel it? Wind? Yes. Have you ever tried to walk against a strong wind where you thought, I'm going to get blown away, or that the car is going to get blown off of the road? I've been in those situations. The smaller the car, the worse it is. Well, those big vans can be pretty bad too. So anyway, so they felt the presence. Then tongues of fire appeared. Can you imagine? If I hadn't been there at the ascension, I'd have been going, I'm losing my mind again. As these tongues started, and they came around and they started lighting on each individual and giving each individual power to do what? Speak in other tongues. All of these languages that we just mentioned. If you stop and count them, there's more than 12. So obviously there were more than 12 believers that had that experience on the day of Pentecost. I wouldn't be surprised if it's closer to the 120. We're not told. We just know that within 10 days, the believers had been 120 that had been gathered together in one mind. And then when the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came whooshing in with his mighty wind, then appeared. They saw the tongues alight on the believers, and the people started hearing. Guys, this is a miracle, but I don't want us to limit this miracle to tongues. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, this was a sign. The power is here. The power is here. The power is here. Not only that, but then later on, when it happened to other groups that hadn't even had to wait, they said, aha, we know this is God's hand at work. We've seen this. Do you think that anyone that had read the Old Testament, if they saw a burning bush, they'd have any question that God wasn't trying to get their attention? No, they would have immediately known that that was a way that God could appear. If they'd seen writing on the wall and no body, but the words appearing on the wall, would they have known it was God? Yes, because they'd read this. They knew that God had done this. But guys, sometimes we want to limit God. This morning I want us to say, no, I no longer want to limit my God, because my God can't be limited. My God wants to come and work through me. And I can be ready to receive a miracle in my life. I can receive whatever it is He wants. And I'm not saying that everyone has to see the tongues appear above your head. But you know, sometimes that might help us to have faith. So this morning what I'm asking for us is to get that attitude. Lord, build my faith. Whatever it takes, build my faith. If I need to see a tongue of fire, or if I need to hear a rushing wind, or if I need to see a burning bush, then Lord, let it happen. I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm wanting to experience you fully in my life. The sermon topic this morning is holy, W-H-O-L-E, the whole. Look at yourself and think, am I wholly given to the Lord? Then I want you to think of a vessel like a strainer that has a bunch of holes in it. What happens when you pour water into that strainer? It goes right through. But some of the stuff, the larger chunks, what does that happen? Stays in the vessel. God uses us that way. when we are wholly, W-H-O-L-E, the whole of us, committed to the Lord, He then turns us into a strainer. He gives us the things we need, and He lets us ooze out the things that needed by others around us. Do you see that picture? So if we need the starch of a potato, He's going to boil the starch, and then the water comes off. And did you know you can take that starchy water and do other things with it? It has a purpose. Most of us let it go down the drain. So I want us to get that now. When we have that whole concept of being holy, totally, and then letting it go flow through us, that equals H-O-L-Y. We then are actually holy because we are in the purpose that God created us for. It says, and this is what's beautiful because, you see, at that point, we can say we are made in the image of Christ. We are made in the image of Christ because we are allowing Him to flow through us. And that's what we've been challenged to be, made in the image of Christ. We are supposed to die daily to ourself and grow to Him. And I want us to think this morning, because I don't want you to go out that door and say, oh, Pastor, good sermon. Thank you so much. I'm all fired up. And then you sit down and have lunch and you're done with it. No. That's not what the Word of God is for. The Word of God is for the food. Think about Jesus when He's ministering to a woman at the well. He tells His disciples, I have food you don't know about. And they're thinking, someone else bring Him lunch? Guys, this is truly the food. This is the food when we stop and say, God's the same, He didn't change. The miracle of Pentecost is alive and well today. And let's receive it. But don't make it only be about tongues. Miracles are not just tongues. Miracles are the work of God that you and I have been called to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank you so much. We just ask, Lord, that you will continue to make yourself known to this world that needs your love and mercy and forgiveness so very much. Lord, help us to be that light. Really change our lives. Make us into the image of Christ our Lord. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.